This is what our competition plays from sun up until sundown.
Tap-time races?
Records. They play records. The same record you could play on your gramophone at home. And this is what we give our audience.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The famous and unknown, the professional and amateur announcer.
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
My greetings to both of you.
Radio gods. The Don and Mike Show is copyright 1996 Infinity Broadcasting.
You people never cease to amaze me.
All rights reserved. Produced by 106.7 WJFK, Washington Superstation, and distributed by Westwood One Entertainment.
As you all know, this show of ours is a sort of catch-as-catch-can affair with everything up for grabs.
Our kids don't even rehearse. They just audition and then go on.
I don't know what to say, except it's Christmas and we're all in misery.
Previously on the Don and Mike Show.
You know, it's almost the holiday season, and we were just thinking, what is our favorite celebrity, Al Molinaro, doing?
Sweet, you are.
Are we going to see any more of the Encore Frozen Dinner commercials?
Oh, yeah. They just haven't been interested in doing shows and junk like that. I don't know. I guess
since they stopped asking.
Really, you know, the acting business, I guess, never really was my bag.
It's not his bag. New bag's a colostomy bag.
Oh, God.
That's his bag. Paper or plastic, Al?
The Don and Mike Show.
This is Aunt Bethany's 80th Christmas. I think she should lead us in the saying of grace.
Oh, great.
What, dear? She passed away 30 years ago.
They want you to say grace. The blessing.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation
under God.
With liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Oh, dear. Did I break wind?
Don and Mike show starting. Best thing on the radio. If you don't mind farting, we're screwing with the heads of phone hose. It's a shell, no pest strip. For all the weirdos living on Earth, can you imagine the aroma when Don Geronimo gives birth? Circumcised, hung to their knees. That's good, it means more meat and less cheese. The show's a magnet, wink, wink. It's the best way an intern can get some stink. Don and Mike have real style. They're the idols of millions of radiophiles. Time to start the show and shout real loud. We're hypocrites and we're proud.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
How many you got today, boy?
Five Merry Christmas bumpers.
Oh, God.
Five.
Please.
Five.
All right, let's hear them.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. Today, 4 hours of big talk about Mr. Al Molinaro's bag, Don and Mike.
All right.
What we could have done without.
That was one based on yesterday's program, right?
As they often are.
That's your formula.
That's my formula for success.
His proven formula for disaster. All right, number four, please.
It's a sacrament, for Christ's sake. Don and Mike.
Oh, that's based on a call yesterday.
That's not funny, Rob.
I'm sorry. That was more of a statement.
I understand.
It is a sacrament.
Keep your religious beliefs to yourself, please.
Amen,
come on, Hank.
Number three.
Don't touch that gerbil. You don't know where it's been. The Don and Mike show.
It's stunk.
Oh.
Jim Mora didn't, though.
Number two.
It's the show with more helpers than Santa's workshop. The Don and Mike show.
That's good. Good and bad.
Okay. Now the one that will catapult us to another successful record-setting program.
One's a major DJ, the other's a major general.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Patton.
Thank you. Thank you for mentioning my rank.
Thank you very hard, and get out of here, please, Gelman. Thank you for listening coast-to-coast and nationwide via Westwood One Entertainment, darling. Don Geronimo with Mike O'Mara. That's why we call it
the cotton-picking Don and Mike show.
Yeah!
And there he is over there, continuing the decade of sweaters.
You've worn that one recently.
Yeah, yes, I have. Once before.
Yep.
I hate it when you repeat the outfits, Buzz.
I'm working on that.
There's Buzz Burbank, everybody.
Hi, Don and Mike.
You mean to tell me this is only the second time you've ever worn that sweater?
I think so, yeah.
Really?
You know, he has officially taken that away from Cosby.
Yeah.
Cosby used to be the sweater king.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And Mike Ditka from the Chicago Bears, right? Also a man who fashioned that same look that Buzz has on the sweater with no shirt underneath and the big hair from the chest coming up through the top of the sweater.
There.
That is a handsome sweater, Buzz.
Fellas, it's five after.
Wow.
And we haven't said 1-800-881-9176.
1-800-881-9176. That's the number for the most incredible piece of video entertainment you will ever feast your eyes upon.
Sex pies and videotapes. And I want to tell you that this videotape, and I said videotapes plural,
right,
because we have already processed orders in the tens of thousands for these.
That's great.
Tens of thousands of orders.
All right, there's been 10,000 ordered. Officially, that means tens of thousands.
Tens of thousands.
So hurry. Hurry, I tell you, hurry.
Yes,
because our elves are working around the clock.
We're worried that we're going to run out of videotapes.
So call 1-800-881-9176, $29.95 plus $4.50 shipping and handling for your copy of Sex, Pies, and Videotape in color and incredible.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it. If you cherish nudity as much as we cherish nudity, then you have to pick up the phone right now and make sure that they send it in the mail to you, 1-800-881-9176.
A tape that would not be possible without the good people who listen to the show, since they are all the naked people on the tape.
Yeah, she couldn't have gone out and gotten actors, self-respecting actors, to do this. You had to get crazy listeners to go in all sorts of crazy poses.
Al Molinaro wouldn't be there.
No, absolutely not.
Dick Van Patten, Nels Van Patten, Tito Van Patten, Jackie Van Patten, none of them would have been there.
Kay Ballard wouldn't be on this tape.
And don't forget, if you see Kay Ballard, you tell her to have a happy day as always from the Don and Mike radio show.
I will indeed.
The tapes would not be possible without the good people who listen to the show. Neither, and incidentally, Al Molinaro, he called in and said we should bag the whole project.
Yeah, bag it, guys. Bag it, guys.
That would be a bag joke from yesterday's appearance of Al Molinaro.
Bada bing.
Listen, I want to say thanks again on behalf of everybody on the show for the great ratings that you deliver. And I'm talking here to the people who listen to us at Washington, D.C. on WJFK.
Washington, D.C., of course, the place where this show originates, and this is where every good thing springs from, and we are very grateful to the listeners here in Washington that have given us fantastic ratings once again.
It is a hotbed every month. You know, this is why I don't have to get super competitive about my kids' basketball league.
That's right.
Because every month we got the pressure of coming in and standing outside a closed door.
Sure.
While the rodents, the management rodents, go in the room and do whatever voodoo magic they do as the ratings come over the computer sheets. Then you got to wait while they digest it. And you're going, are they good? Are they bad? Give me the ratings. And then they come out and grudgingly they say,
you're number one again.
And that's the attitude. They've gotten spoiled around here.
But we haven't gotten spoiled. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting the show. Whether you do in Washington or wherever you're listening, all I know is that we just got the monthly ratings in again for Washington. They're great, and thank you. And if nobody has bothered to mention this, I believe we're up on an 11th year anniversary.
Yes, that's right. 11. Is it today?
Isn't it VJ Day? Isn't that
10 years today, right?
No, 11 years.
Really?
We had 10 years.
Is this the 11th year today?
Well, sometime around now. I know that last year, didn't we have a 10th anniversary party last year?
Wasn't it like the 8th or 9th?
I think so.
Yeah.
What made me think of it was, didn't we just pass VJ Day, Victory Over Japan Day?
You know, somebody will call us and be able to tell us exactly when we started. Yeah. When we started at the other station.
Well, I know we're coming up on 11 years, and being as nobody's bothered to remember that, I wanted to say, well, you know.
Happy anniversary,
Don. Here's to you, Mike.
I would have brought a small token of my esteem for you if I had known that it was going to be today. And unlike other disc jockeys here in Washington, D.C., I don't want to mention any names, Paul Harris, this is an official anniversary. This is a nonstop, continuous working anniversary, which would, unlike his 10-year anniversary, which he takes full credit for. And I don't think it's legitimate because there were too many holes in there when he was out of work.
This is a guy. This guy, he's another one of these in the morning guys.
Yeah.
A guy who has to put in the morning after his name.
Right.
He's a guy that long ago, 10 years ago, we were doing our morning show together. He was one of the first guys that we ate up, and he came out in our rating stool. What happened was, You remember how, I don't know, like 7-8 months ago, we told you we had had a 1 month ratings dip?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, the same thing happened to us like 8 years ago.
Yeah, at the other station when we were doing the morning show.
And this guy, this Harris in the morning, who had always been at the bottom of the ratings pile, we had one bad month in the ratings when he actually went ahead of us.
Yeah, wow. He had a spike, and oh, did he get excited.
Oh, that, you know, he's in the newspaper saying it's nice to have Don and Mike tailing at my heels. Mm-hmm. You know, meanwhile, we never heard of the guy before.
Right.
All we know is that all of a sudden we're reading in the newspaper that this guy's glad that he's kicking our ass. Well, the next month when the ratings come out, and that's the beauty of it, that you get the ratings every month.
Right. Yeah, so you never can rest on your hairy laurels.
Our share had gone right back up.
Right.
So we called him and left him some voicemail, and we've tracked his career ever since then, because that's the type of petty individuals that we both are.
Well, also, if you tune him in, and you know, now that he's on in the morning, we're on the afternoon, and I listened to him once, and I think it was about 2 months ago. I hate to say bad things about other disc jockeys. You know,
you do.
We don't do that, but that is seriously one of the most
that's
pathetic.
That's not our bag, man.
That is a pathetic effort. That is truly a pathetic effort.
So he's a guy who, he works at one station, then he gets fired and he can't find the job for a year. He gets hired at another station, he gets fired, he can't find a job for another year, then he gets another job. So the other day in the Washington Times, they do a whole big write-up about this guy's 10th year anniversary.
Yeah, you take out the downtime, and that's probably more like a 7-year anniversary.
And not to mention the fact, I just looked at the ratings, the same ratings I'm talking about. Congratulations to Paul Harris, celebrating his 10th year in the market with a whopping 1.9 share. Wow. Congratulations, wow. Paul.
Way to go.
A lot of us have been wondering when you were going to crack that one share barrier.
And this guy is one of these real, like, internet nerds, too, that just gets on there and self-promotes till the cows come home.
Oh, no. You know what his big claim to fame is? He's one of the satin jacket wearing disc jockeys.
Oh, absolutely. We actually saw him one time wearing that advertising thing we went to.
We were at a luncheon for radio advertising people,
mm-hmm.
and we were sitting at a table, and we were wearing, I think, like sport coats like everybody was wearing,
mm-hmm.
and one guy came in. It was like 100 degrees outside, but the guy came in wearing this big, shiny disco purple satin jacket.
It was a purple satin jacket. Absolutely horrid.
Everybody said, that's Harris in the morning. Gee, no kidding.
Hallelujah. So, I mean, it really, you know, this, you know, whatever day it falls on, our 11th year anniversary, I consider it to be a legitimate anniversary. We have been in the same town working for the whole time.
The only time we've been off is when we had to take the 2-month hiatus break our contract,
mm-hmm.
6 years ago at the last station we were at.
That's right. That was our choice. So this is an official 11-year anniversary. And even then, we didn't leave Washington. We were sitting here by the phone just waiting for everything to work out so we could come over here to the fabulous WJFK.
So listen, thank you for listening. If you've been listening for all the, you know, and happy anniversary to us, 11 years.
Over a decade.
Congratulations.
Here's to 11 more.
Yes.
And then I will have had my fill of you, and I'm sure likewise.
We will go our separate ways. Let's make that commitment right now. After 11 years, we will be going to our various farms.
So where we will be, hold on, like Buddy Ryan. Now listen to this. I just want to share something with you. Every once in a while, you stumble upon a nugget.
Yeah.
I'm reading the USA Today sports section, mm-hmm. in the office. I say to Mike, Mike's across the office on his couch.
Mm-hmm.
I say, open page 4.
My love seat.
Page 4, the flesh-colored love seat.
The flesh-colored love seat, where I put my butt every day.
I say, turn to page 4. There's a big article on Buddy Ryan. Now, we've followed the career of Buddy Ryan when he was a coach with the Bears, and then with the Eagles, and then with the Cardinals.
We've always found something comical about Buddy Ryan.
We started goofing on Buddy Ryan in earnest when he was the head coach of the Eagles,
mm-hmm.
when we would play the fart sound effects, and we had a running gag about Buddy Ryan.
Yeah, that he was upstairs
in the bathroom.
In the John.
And he would run out of toilet paper, and he would yell, Mother!
Mother, we need more paper. I need a roll up here, Mother. I've run out once again. And we used to always think that he calls his wife Mother. This was something we just made up in our own heads.
Mother! Well, imagine the surprise. I'm reading the article, and I say to Mike, wait a minute, hold on. Go to the last paragraph.
I couldn't believe this.
Joni and Buddy have been married since 1970. She's Buddy's second wife. He affectionately calls her Mother.
Mother!
Wow. We called it. That's like an Aline Cunningham moment, huh?
Mother!
He calls her mother. And you can just hear him saying that too. Mother, mother, I tell you, I don't think I'm... my stomach's in real distress, mother.
Mother, no more toilet paper up here, mother.
Come on, mother, ferry it up the stairs.
Oh, it's about football. I didn't see that sign last night in the end zone on Monday Night Football. However, they don't give you quite the back shot that they used to of the end zone. Some of our listeners out in the Bay Area were going to go to the game last night in Oakland and put a big banner 35 feet long in the end zone that had our 1-800 number for sex pies and videotape.
I was looking for it, and unfortunately they like that behind the goalpost shot now. The camera's located behind the goalpost, and they get that head-on shot of the field goal kicker. Yeah. They're all using that now, and it's very frustrating.
So I can't say for sure if it made it or not, if those guys were out there and they did have the sign. More power to you, because I saw it raining like... holy sin out there last night.
Boy, it was nasty out there, and they had some good time. I guess the Oakland fans had a great time last night.
The level of my desperation, though, for fame. Should have seen me last night.
Just staring at the end zone. Where is it?
It's like 11 o'clock, and my wife says, turn the game off.
You stayed up till 11 to watch it, huh?
Yeah. She said, what do you care about this game? I said, I'm really into it, honey. And then she says about 11:15, please turn the television off. Please turn it off. What's the score? And I said, I don't even know. I don't know what the score is. What is it? I said, I'm looking for the sign in the end zone.
I'm simply waiting for field goals and extra points. Leave me alone.
And that's when she took the remote control out of my hand.
Not a high-scoring game either. Not a real high-scoring game.
She got that one deaf move where she is able to not only turn off the television, but also turn off the satellite and manage to put the remote control behind her on her side of the bed where I can't reach for it.
And hit that special button that cuffs you into the bed, that just straps you in.
That's it. That's when I give up the remote. So I didn't see it on the TV last night. Oh, you know what I wanted to ask you from yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think I'm tone deaf?
Tone deaf?
You said that yesterday when I was singing.
What?
You said at one point yesterday. Now, I mean this seriously.
Well, wait a minute. I don't remember saying that specifically, that you were tone deaf. I didn't say that.
I think you did. I was coming out of a bumper.
Yeah?
With Melissa Etheridge.
Right.
That's
I compliment you on that. You hit what I said. See, you, boy, you just get that.
Well, no. Listen, I'm not upset.
But what I said to you was you had perfect pitch. I was not being sarcastic.
If I seriously am tone deaf, I would like to know it. I mean, no. I know I can't carry a tune.
Listen up. When you come out of the Melissa Etheridge song and you're doing the you hit that pitch perfectly. Now, if you want me to elaborate on it, there are times when you don't hit the pitch perfectly.
Right.
But that one...
On Midnight Confessions.
Yes, that would be an example.
When I sang with the Grassroots.
You're flat on that one. And I don't mean flat in the chest. I mean that you hit some flat notes on that. But with the Melissa Etheridge, not only do you hit that high register... And you can... You should play her because you match up to that very... And I said you had perfect pitch.
Yeah.
But I know how you processed that. You heard me say that instantaneously. Thought I was being as sarcastic as I normally am.
Somebody said that I was tone deaf.
I don't recall.
Do you remember that on this show?
I don't remember anybody saying that.
I don't know. And even if you might not have perfect pitch, I'm not necessarily sure you are tone deaf, though.
How do I find out if I'm tone deaf?
I don't know what tone deaf is. I'm not familiar exactly. Now listen very carefully, because I think you hit this.
Yeah, this is the only thing that I can sing on key.
Go for it.
Whoa! 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 If I wanted to.
No, you're not tone deaf. You couldn't do that if you were tone deaf.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right, thank you.
You don't have perfect pitch, though. You don't have perfect, because you occasionally, like, when you hear that Midnight Confession thing, that's one that's not on. That's one that's not on the... we're getting the entire repertoire here.
Good chance to hear me jamming with my favorite band, the Grassroots. That's right, for you listeners in those new markets. This is really the Grassroots. That's right.
Now, you come in at the hook, right?
Right. Yeah, this is not me. This is the lead singer, Rob Grill. He's a little off key. Of course, he's about 100 years old. Now, there, I'm singing there.
Yeah, you're a... You're missing that one. Now, see, in the second part of this, when you hit the I love you part, you nail that one.
Yeah.
You hit that one perfectly. So you couldn't be... People that are tone deaf literally cannot carry any kind of tune. Isn't that right?
I think that's right, yeah.
All right, good. Good, all right. You know, I'm just it's one of those things you wonder. I sing in the car all the time.
Right.
I sing to songs that I hear. I hear oldies on the radio and stuff, and I wonder, am I tone deaf? But I guess I'm not. Oh, here's the part where
I love you!
See, and you Perfect. Did that. That's not, you don't need to get the musicality of that. You can just kind of bark it out there and it sounds good.
See, but that's not singing. That's talking. And do you remember when we were growing up, there were always some singers
right.
who used to be like on Ed Sullivan?
Sure.
And they really wouldn't sing. They would pretty much talk their way through a song.
And a lot of them would have lots of backup singers, too.
Right.
Whenever you see like somebody with a tremendous amount of backup singers late in their career sometimes, and they're doing that to cover it up.
Echo. Richard Harris,
absolutely.
MacArthur Park.
And just thousands of singers in backup.
And reverb. They had reverb to cover
I'm
up.
I'm trying to think of a good example of somebody who hits a lot of flat notes.
Hmm.
Dennis Murphy.
Well, I don't think Wayne Newton hits a lot. I'm not in Wayne Newton's range.
No, see, that's perfect pitch, right?
No one is in Wayne Newton's range.
Give me Tom Jones. That's something I can sing.
Yeah, if you were tone deaf, you couldn't hit any notes. Yeah.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
That's perfect
pitch. Da, 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 da.
Perfect.
Not unusual to have fun with anyone.
See, that's it. You're not missing that at all.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, thank you.
If you were worried about being tone deaf, that's true. I have heard people in church that are in back of me, you know, and they're singing Ave Maria, and it's just it sounds terrible.
That's okay. Tone deaf.
All right, well then, a problem solved.
Do you have perfect pitch?
Let me hear you sing, Buzz.
Don't.
Oh no!
Come on, please.
I'd like to hear because we ought to just check around here.
Now we know what a good singer Mike is.
Confessions. When I tell all the world that I love you.
That's like, I don't know.
That's good. You're not hitting a lot of flat notes. You know, I'd like to really hear sing.
I don't know.
Charles? Charles, don't go out the door. He's leaving.
Come here, Charlie.
Charlie, let me see. Is there a song that you love music?
Studio technician Charles Broyhill.
Something by Genesis. He loves Genesis. Didn't you used to have Genesis on your license tag?
Yeah, I did.
This is a special moment.
How about Invisible Touch by Genesis?
You know, I haven't listened to them in a long time, but
she seems to have an invisible touch. Yeah.
Okay. She seems to have an invisible touch. Yeah.
No.
He didn't miss that. He didn't. I mean, at the end,
Are you doing that bad on purpose?
No, it's just bad.
But
to
the
begin
note,
with.
I think the note was okay. The note was okay.
Sing again. Let me hear it again.
She seems to have an invisible touch.
So as bad as it sounds, he's hitting the note without hitting a flat note.
All right, here's a guy from California to tell us about perfect pitch.
Good. Hello.
Yeah, I'm going to be another one of those irritating helper calls.
Well, see, all right. Nobody really knows what perfect pitch is, myself
perfect
included.
Perfect pitch is if somebody says, sing a C, and you're able to hit it right on.
Mm-hmm. And what is a C? Hit a C for us.
Like a middle C. Oh, I have no idea. I don't have perfect
C.
pitch.
C.
See?
There you go.
See?
Now, Rob can sing. Rob sings pretty well.
Yes. You can't shut Rob up.
Yeah. And Nick Joe loves to sing, too.
With his Christian retreat. What about
Jimmy?
Jimmy with bad breath.
Jimmy the intern.
Hey, how about Ing Pao Chang?
Hey, come here for a second.
Ing Pao Chang. Hop Sing's new name.
I'm missing Pao Chang a lot.
Okay, I do, too.
Hello, here's a James Tiberius intern.
Hello.
Well, let's see.
I have to sing.
What type of music do you enjoy? Who do you like? Come on.
Just think of a song. Everybody knows a song, Jimmy.
How about Sourwood Mountain?
No.
How about a song?
We mightn't remember the verses.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light?
You're really not holding any notes there, you know, and that's too easy, isn't there?
Sing some modern music.
Yeah, something.
Some modern music?
Sing Spiderwebs.
Little Deuce Coop, you don't know what I got. Little Deuce Coop, you don't know what I got.
Hey, you're okay.
Well, I'm not bragging, babe, so don't put me down.
Go, Jimmy.
But I got the fastest little wheels in town.
Deuce Coop.
When something comes up to me, you don't even try.
Deuce Coop.
Had a set of wings, man, I know she can find.
She's my little deuce coop.
You don't know what I got.
She's got a competition clutch with a four on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
And she purrs like a kitten until the late pipes roar. And if that ain't enough to make you flip your lid, there's one more thing. I got the pink slip.
Daddy.
She coming off the light when the light turns green. Well, she pulls them out of the water like she never seen.
She gets pushed
out of shape and it's hard to steer.
When
I give rubber and all four gears,
she's my little deuce coop. You don't know what I got.
You don't know what I got. You don't know what I got.
Yeah.
That's about as close to a train wreck as I've ever heard. Oh, man.
Let me say this. Kathy Lee is a perfect C. She's a big C.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
Oh, man.
Hello, Tampa, Florida.
Hi, how you doing?
Great, thank you.
I had a comment about perfect pitch.
Of course, yes.
I personally can't sing to save my life, but I can hear whenever a tone is off. If a note is not perfect, I can hear it. And I can't stand to hear it. Like, people that are flat send chills up the middle of my back. I can't stand to even hear it.
I've heard lots of singers that, you know, when they're doing live performances on TV shows, where they'll really hit some flat notes, and because they're famous, they'll just motor right through it. And
oh, sure.
Like,
oh,
you know who? Bette Midler.
Yes.
Did you hear her sing Wind Beneath My Wings on the Oscars years back?
Didn't we used to play the sound effect like of glass breaking when she sings? I think that would
that's awesome.
Fly
sure, Wind Beneath My Wings. Wind Beneath My Wings is the best example of a recorded flat note.
There's a real high note there that she can't hit, right?
Fly.
You guys are killing me.
Yeah, just like that.
And there's
Linda
McCartney.
Oh, yeah, Linda McCartney. Yeah. A perfect example of a bad singer.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Don and Mike, the poster child for bad pitch is Linda McCartney. That
sure.
tape.
That's right.
We'll play that tape.
That's the one.
We'll play that tape today. Okay. All right, thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
People coming out of the woodwork for Linda McCartney.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm not tone deaf. Thank you for your help.
All right.
We got to do a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have the Don and Mike mailbag in our first hour here.
Good.
Oh, and listen to this. Ladies, this is something just for you moms. You want to be listening very carefully when we come back from this commercial set. Three words. Tickle me Elmo.
Oh, yeah.
I got him.
That's right. From the brain of Donnie. That's right. Never one to miss a trend. Your brain was working overtime.
And I got the dolls.
And you sent someone out to fetch him.
We got him. And you can win him. Hold on. We'll be right back.
This should be played at high volume.
The Don and Mike Show.
Preferably in a residential area.
You're listening to the Don and Mike Show on WJFK.
Sure. Dumb. Big. Sure.
Tomorrow.
Big W.
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 Say, what is a big W?
Think of something that starts with a W.
JFK!
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara, WJFK.
What's this, a delegation?
We just came down here to get you away from that radio.
That's right, Herman. It's caused us nothing but trouble.
Don't worry. I'm just trying to get some music so I can relax. Will you listen to that?
Yeah.
They're killing you softly with their song, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
There you go. Here's Jimmy the Intern with the Beach Men. And Blackie Parrish playing the bongos.
Yeah, John Stamos.
You know, that's reminded me. I'm glad I thought of this. Thinking about music. I love the Beach Boys.
Sure.
I dig them. I like them more than the Beatles, I think. Now I'm starting to appreciate the Beach Boys more than the Beatles. I always had that battle in my mind when I was a kid.
Right.
Which was better. Mm-hmm. And do you know that sometimes when I was a kid, I would tell my friends that I liked the Beach Boys better just because the Beach Boys were Americans.
Right.
I had like a weird little patriotism thing happening.
You always were a strong patriot. And, you know, they were. I think anyway, you slice the Beatles were foreigners.
Well, I bleed red, white, and blue.
Sure.
But you know that, Major General.
Absolutely. The Major General knows that. And the Major General contacted his police department today at Petticoat Junction. Uh-huh. You know you live in a rural area when your police department has an answering machine. and that's what I got. But you really were an advocate of the Beach Boys over the Beatles. That was a controversial stand back then.
Yeah. I was always taking a controversial stand with my friends who could care less. I was always the one that was saying,
Guys, what do you think? Beach Boys, Beatles, heard the new Zeppelin. All my friends, like, will you shut up with that stuff?
Now, were you vindicated when the Beach Boys had that real hot streak? I think it was in the late 70s when they... When did Endless Summer come out? When was that? When was that released? That was kind of a resurgence of the Beach Boys.
That was after I'd grown up. Mm-hmm. Plus, I was nutty about music with my friends because I wanted to be a DJ back when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. So I always drove them crazy with that. Listen, about being a DJ, here you go. Somebody faxed it in. Tomorrow is our anniversary. The 11th of December 1985 is the first ever Don and Mike show.
There you go.
All right, so tomorrow is the anniversary. Oh, now about music. When I turn on my VH1 or my MTV, mm-hmm. I want to get a video. Yes. And I think we've talked ad nauseum about how they've ruined MTV.
Yes, they have.
With all of the dumb shows and the guy who runs MTV, who used to be our program director. Mm-hmm. So now, sadly, I find myself watching VH1 more and more.
And that's kind of the old person's channel, isn't it?
Well, they're trying to hip it up. They don't play so much Michael Bolton anymore. Or maybe I'm just getting older, but mm-hmm. VH1 seems to rock a little more. But every time they do something to make me like them a little bit more, they do something that just pisses me off to where I can't stand it. And here's what it is today. Pop-up video.
What's pop-up video?
Oh. What it is, do you like this, Buzz?
No, I don't. I've Thank seen goodness. It. No, I have seen it.
They play a video. And let's say it's a video that I like. Although VH1 does play more of the dreamy Bryan Adams than any other channel.
Oh, he is the dreamiest, especially when he just wears the white T-shirt.
That's always a big tune-in factor for me when Bryan Adams is sitting on a toilet singing his latest hit. And that was his last video. He was on the crapper.
On the commode.
So I'm watching today the Tom Petty video.
Mm-hmm.
You had like a heart so deep. Anyway.
He's got a face that was made for videos.
I like Tom Petty, and I dig this song.
Right.
The song comes
Buzz's
up.
Buzz's wife loves Tom Petty, too.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
The song comes on. I turn it up. I'm going, oh, I'm going to sit back and enjoy this video. Mm-hmm. 2 seconds into the video, you hear this, like a pop sound.
Right.
Like someone opening a can of Coke or something. Right. And on the bottom of the screen, it says, Tom Petty's clothes were selected by someone who went to a circus in India. Then the next thing you know, they got a shot of an elephant behind Tom Petty. And again, you hear pop, and a little thing comes up on the screen saying...
Like a computer.
It's one elephant, which was actually magnified twice. The elephant was actually painted purple. It's like every annoying fact about the video.
So they're throwing these things in while you're just trying to enjoy a video.
Right, and not only does... And then I actually thought, well, maybe if I just close my eyes, I won't have to see these annoying facts that they're throwing at me. But then they give you they got that sound effect, like that, or
boom.
Can you do that thing where you put your finger in your mouth and that's exactly what it sounds like, Mike. Yeah, there you go. They must have had you up there with a tape recorder.
Thank you very much. Good work, thank you. Mike. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks so much. No, please. Please. Come on. It's the holidays, guys. I'm just doing my job.
So, that really annoyed me.
Yeah.
And they ran out of facts.
Are they doing it for a future trivia contest?
No, it's a format they have. Like, for a whole hour.
I have a solution.
When they play videos, what is the solution? Give me the solution besides the one I already figured out, which is shoot the TV.
Much Music. The Canadian MTV.
I got a problem with that.
Really?
You got your Canadian content, Buzz.
Yeah, but you know what? Some of those are pretty good.
You know what that means? You got to watch a lot of Gordon Lightfoot. That's what that means.
I haven't seen any Gordon Lightfoot.
Sundown, you better take care.
I was once offered a job in Toronto at Chum, 1050 Chum.
Huge top 40 station.
Right. You know why I didn't take the job?
Why?
Because I went to the station, and they brought me in, and they showed me the control booth, and they said, here's the playlist. And the playlist was like all Anne Murray and Gordon Lightfoot.
80%.
And I said, what is this? And they said, Canadian content.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You got a rule in Canada. If you got a radio station, you got to play 80% Canadian artists. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, like all but 2% of Canadian artists suck.
Some of the biggest, I can't think of the names right now, but some of the hottest acts in this country right now are Canadian. So you see them on the Much Music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I don't watch that channel because I've got the whole anti-Canada thing.
By
I know, you've always had that. And, you know, when I was playing hockey with the Washington Capitals alumni, I'd take hits out there based on your philosophy of hating Canada. You know, every now and then,
USA wannabe, Mike.
You know, somebody give me an elbow and just come in, you know, come across and go, hey, that one's for your partner hating Canada. There you go.
Not that I got anything against Canada. It's a nice country. It's just, you know.
It's not the U.S. of A.
They might as well just tear down the border and let it be, you know, let us annex those states.
And then there'd be that whole French question.
Where, let us populate those states. Let us put up our strip malls and our fast food outlets.
Sure.
Let us put our Kenny shoes on every block, the Taco Bell on the corresponding lot.
We wouldn't have to move the border very far because 80% of Canadians live within 100 miles of the U.S. border.
I've seen the Canadian TV. We got better TV in America.
Great factoid, Buzz.
Thank you.
That is a great fact.
How did you learn that?
Yeah, watching the Much Music.
Watching the Much. And that's what it's called, Much Music?
Yes.
Right. Uh-huh. It's like their ripoff of a great American idea, MTV.
Much Music, eh?
Yeah, that's absolutely it.
Yeah, there you go. I've actually, I had a great time when I was in Canada. Have you ever been to Canada?
Well, when I went to the job interview.
And that's it?
That's the only time.
I've actually vacationed in Canada. I vacationed in Montreal, and I've been to Niagara Falls, Canada, which is, you know, Canadians are very cool, eh? They really are, eh?
They have a big new casino there at Niagara Falls on the Canadian side.
Do they really?
Is it run by Indians?
Just opened yesterday. No, I think it's run by Canadians.
Well, I'll be up there sooner than I thought.
I just like America. I can't help it.
Good for you.
I like America. I don't like traveling. My wife was saying to me again, next spring,
right?
Let's go somewhere.
Sure.
I say, where do you want to go? You want to go somewhere exotic? Let's go to Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, it's a short drive.
Let's go to Pennsylvania. She says, no, I want to go to England.
She wants to go to England. It's a beautiful country to visit.
You want to go to England. They got bad food. They got the toilet that I sat down on, which you're not even supposed to use as a toilet. You're just supposed to wash your butt with it.
It's got a little straight. It's a bidet.
The bidet.
The bidets that they have all over Europe.
They only got four television channels in London.
And the food, the boiled meat. I remember when we were in London and we were walking across the street and you saw a Taco Bell. I don't think I have ever, and since we're celebrating an 11-year anniversary, I have never seen you that excited. When you saw that Taco Bell, you just went, Taco Bell! American food! Oh, my. But, you know, you were right.
I love America.
The food over there, really, the best food we got was that. That's one of the first Hard Rock cafes, and they had American food, and it was great.
I say to my wife, this is why I like living in America.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go anywhere else. Right. Everything I want, we got in America.
Sure.
Why do I want to go somewhere else where they're going to talk bad about America, where I got to follow their rules, where they don't do things the American way?
You don't have any desire to explore the planet, to see how other people live, other cultures, other lifestyles?
No, they want to come here to see how I live.
Okay.
I live in the greatest country in the world.
Yes, I agree with you.
So why go anywhere else?
Just to see how good you have it. Maybe if it was... Maybe
I know how good I got it.
Maybe your wife could sell it to you on a gloating basis, where you just go over there and go, look at that. They don't have what we have. Whoa, man, look at that.
Well, we've tried that before. That wears after a day.
You know, England's got one thing we don't have in this country, better taxi cabs. 100,000 million times better taxi cabs than we have. Those remember those cabs over there? They were great, and all the cab drivers have to be educated. They have to really know where they're going, and it's incredible. It's beautiful. Now Don's going to be giving us a patriotic speech here. I know it's coming.
I'm just trying to get the right music. I wasn't paying attention. I'm trying to cue up the right. I got my Boston Pops CD, The America the Beautiful.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's, you know, I kind of like this.
It's not happening fast enough for me. Let me try cut number two.
What do we have here?
Too powerful. Sounds like the beginning to Dallas. Tonight. With Martha Stewart as Miss Ellie.
No, too violent.
All right, let me try cut number three.
You need something that has to stir our patriotic emotions.
Well, this is good. This is it right here.
This is it.
Mike, you asked me why I don't want to go to other countries.
Yes, I do, Don, and I'd like to hear an answer.
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because right here in the United States of America, we got everything you want. We got MTV, we got VH1, we got Nick at Night, we got Taco Bell, we got McDonald's, we got TGI Fridays, we got Bennigan's, we got JCPenney, we got The Gap, we got Montgomery Ward's Brand Central, baby. In the United States of America, all the communities look the same. Everybody's got the nice colonial houses, then you got your modern house, your split-level houses.
Yeah, we also have our slums, you know, our tenements.
But I'll tell you what, can I tell you this?
Yeah.
We got the best goddamn slums in the world. I would rate our slums over the slums in any other country in the world.
Way to go, Don. You tell it like it is.
Our cardboard boxes that our homeless are living in, made of the finest grade cardboard. Better than they got in the other countries.
You mean that's not made in Japan?
I'd rather live on the street in America than live in a high-rise in a foreign country.
It's a strong statement. Strong words from a good patriot.
Words that I would never live up to. But they sound good saying them.
Sure.
You ask me what I love about America.
Go ahead, tell me.
Three words, Mike. The National Football League! That's right. You know what they play in the other country? They play soccer. Meekeek football. You know what football is, Mike.
What's football?
Strap it on the helmet. Sure. Strap it on the pads. Going out on Sunday with the National Football League and winning the Vince Lombardi Trophy. The Super Bowl Trophy. Super Bowl XXI. That's 31 in Roman numerals. You know what else America is?
What is it?
Mike, my America.
My America at anger.
My America's Jenny Jones and Ricky Lake and Jerry Springer and Rosie O'Donnell and especially Regis and Kathy Lee.
Amen.
That's my America. And Tractor Pulls on the Country Nashville Network. And Blockbuster Video. No matter where you go, there's a Blockbuster, and they all look the same.
You forgot pizza delivery, Don.
Saving the best for last, Mike.
Oh, sorry about that.
D-O-M-I-N-O-S. Domino's Pizza.